You are listening to the New Day of Hope broadcast with Helena and Glennis Langley. Enjoy.
Well, blessed be the name of the Lord. We are so excited to be with you one more time. It's a joy and it's an honor, it's a privilege to come into your home, into your car, wherever you are at this time, and share with you what doth saith the Lord. That to us means a lot when we talk about what doth saith the Lord, because you know the Bible says that the grass will wither away, the flowers will fade away, but the word of the Lord will stand forever. Glory be to our God. Well, there is a word, there is always a word from the Lord as we welcome you one more time to this program. So we would like today to talk about what would we gain by praying? What would we gain by praying? And believe you me, my friends, that in itself is a powerful, powerful question. Because I know we can gain a whole lot by praying. So in Job chapter 21 and verse 15, that is Job 21 and verse 15, the scripture says, "Who is the Almighty that we should serve him?" And listen to this. "And what profit do we have if we pray to him?" Let me read this one more time for us. "Who is the Almighty that we should serve him? And what profit do we have if we pray to him?" You know, the Bible says that men ought always to pray. And so the question is powerful right here. Many unbelievers ask this question. And sadly, even Christian people ask that kind of question also. But there are some things that can only bring loss into our lives. We can think of certain habits, such as the use of alcohol or the practice of gambling, which can result in forming wrong habits. But there is one exercise which is always profitable, and that is the exercise of prayer. Glory be to our God. What truth, what great truth, my friends. In the Bible, we are commanded to pray. And I pray you have a Bible before you. And we look at Luke chapter 18 and verse 1. Let me read this to you quickly. Luke chapter 18, verse 1. "And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint." That's powerful. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. We are encouraged to pray in the Word of God, my friends. And there are hundreds of promises that should inspire us to lay hold of God and bring our requests to Him. Many scriptures, a whole lot of scriptures, would challenge us and inspire us to lay hold of God and bring our requests to God. The Bible tells us that to let our requests be made known unto God. We are challenged to pray by the prayer lives of the Lord Jesus. Oh yes, we are challenged to pray by the prayer lives of the Lord Jesus. You know, Jesus always prayed. He always prayed. He would step aside sometimes, go to the mountain, go by the seaside, and wherever he was, Jesus prayed. The Apostle Paul and others. And in this study, we will notice some of these benefits that we can receive when we pray. And that should encourage us to spend more time in prayer.
Amen. So what would we gain? What would we gain by praying? When we pray, our strength is renewed. We can see that in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 28 through 31. And it reads, "Have you never heard? Have you never understood? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of all the earth. He never grows weary or weak. No one can measure the depths of his understanding. He gives power to the weak and strength to the powerless. Even youth will become weak and tired, and young men will fall in exhaustion. But those who trust in the Lord will find strength. They will soar high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. Amen. So the first thing you gain by praying is that your strength will be renewed. And notice what it says, that God is great and he is our creator. We are small, we are weak and frail. But when we wait upon God in prayer, he exchanges our weakness for his strength. Sometimes we all get weary and we get tired, but he is our strength. But the question is, do you believe this? Do you really believe that he will renew your strength? Ross Rainey points out three things about the word wait. The first thing it means is to stop. As a father, you may say to your child, stop or wait here. The second thing it means to be in an attitude of expectation. We all have expectation. We expect the weather to be nice and sunny. We expect each time we go to the mailbox to receive a check in the mail. So we have expectation. As we might go to probably the airport to pick up someone, we are waiting on that person. But the Hebrew words mean to bind together by twisting. If we were to pause in this hectic rush of life and wait before God in expectancy, we shall become entwined in his purposes and experience. You know, we are so busy these days. No one wants to wait. We have to wait at the stoplight. We have to wait in the grocery store. We have to wait when you go to the bank. We have to wait because that's a part of life. But we are living in a microwave society where no one wants to wait. We have to get to the place where we have to wait and we have to wait upon the Lord. You know, sometimes we pray for certain things and we expect him to do it in a hurry. But he said we must wait and we must develop that patience. We have to pack patience when we're doing anything. We have to learn to wait upon the Lord. That's why Ephesians 6 verse 10 says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. So wait on the Lord and there you will develop strength in him.
Amen. Amen. And I love that when we pray, our strength is renewed. All of us would like to have renewed strength. So we have the means, is that we can pray unto the Father and then our strength will be renewed. So let's move on. When we pray, our every need is supplied. Let me repeat that. I say, when we pray, our every need is supplied. Let me read to you Matthew 7. Verses 7 to 11. And you got to follow in the word. Let the word speak for itself. Matthew 7, verses 7 to 11. It says, ask, and it shall be given unto you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you? Whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? No. Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? Boy, that is powerful. I love that latter part of the verse that we just read, verse 11. How much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? Now notice that these verses, they record something that Jesus said and says and can be summed up in the words, ask and it shall be given you. What is your need? Everybody has a need, but what is yours? What is your personal need right now? Is it a personal need or a family or financial need? Does it have to do with property or investment or some relationship? It really doesn't matter. The scripture says, to ask, and it shall be given you. Now, Matthew 7, the verses that I just read, again, we can read that again and see how ready and how willing the Lord is to hear and answer our prayers. Jesus, he's ready and he's willing and waiting to hear and to answer our prayers. The lines to heaven are never busy. You can call at any time. You can call anywhere. You can call anyhow. Wherever you are, you can be driving down the expressway. You can call heaven. You can be lying on your bed. You can call heaven. Wherever you are, you can call. But before he can answer, watch this. Before he can answer, we must pray. That's what the Bible says. Ask and it shall be given you. So before heaven can answer, it means that we must do our part. We must pray. How foolish we are to live like paupers with such a promise in our right in our hands. James chapter 4 and verse 2 says, you lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. That's the problem with our world today, even in the realm of Christianity. You know, we have the privilege, we have the right to go to the throne of grace. Jesus tells us to come boldly before the throne of grace, where we can obtain mercy and we will find grace to help in the time of need. Yet we go around and we murmur and fret and complain and that kind of stuff when he says, hey man, you do not have because you do not ask. Ask and it shall be given unto you. Glory be to our God.
Praise God. So what would we gain by praying? When we pray, our inward joy is increased. You know, sometime back we had a study on joy is an inside job. So when you pray, you will have joy. And joy is not based on circumstances. That's happiness. Joy is something that's deep within you that the Lord is the only one that can give it to you. In John chapter 16, verses 23 and 24, it says, and in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. So you have to ask him for whatever you might be in need of. So he said you got to ask for joy. Jesus' word tells us that if we present our request to him in his name, he shall receive the answers to our prayers. So you have the opportunity, you're given access to ask, come before him and ask him for whatever you might be in need of. Do not go to your friends because they may give it to you and then they may talk about it. But go directly to him and he will give you the joy that you might be in need of. Do you know this supernatural joy? Do you know this supernatural joy is unaffected by testing and trials? We all go through testing and trials. But even though you may go through, because he said in this world you will have tribulation, we can still have that joy, and that joy is unaffected. Because 1 Peter 1 and verse 8 says, you love him even though you have never seen him. Though you do not see him now, you trust him, and you rejoice with a glorious, inexpressible joy. We love him, and yet we do not see him. We trust him because he is trustworthy. And for that reason, you and I can rejoice because we serve a living God. In John 15, verse 11 says, I have told you these things so that you will be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. That's the time to praise God right there, because he say that your joy will overflow. Do you want joy? Are you lacking joy? Just ask him. There's a song which says, I have a joy, joy, joy down in my heart, and it's done in my heart to stay. The devil cannot take it away. If you allow him to, then he will take that joy from you. But as long as you look to him and ask him for that joy, you will have that joy at all times. Amen.
Amen. And it says, if you want joy, real joy, wonderful joy, you must let Jesus come into your heart. So when we pray, our supply of grace is guaranteed. When we pray, our supply of grace is guaranteed. Let me read 2 Corinthians 12, 7 to 10 for you. 2 Corinthians 12, 7 to 10. He says, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distress, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. That's the word of the Lord. So we read of the Apostle Paul's very trying physical affliction, which he describes to us in the Word as a thorn in the flesh. Although we are not told what it was, some things are not for us to know. The Bible doesn't tell us what this thorn in the flesh was. Yet he prayed three times that God would remove it. And hear what I say now. He prayed that God would remove it, because Paul was convinced that God is the wise God. He knew perfectly well that God is the powerful God. So his prayer were urgent. His prayer was persistent. And God answered his prayers, but not in the way that Paul expected God to answer. Now, I know Paul must have been waiting for God to say to him, don't worry, by tonight, that thorn will be gone. God said, my grace, Paul, is sufficient for you. Glory be to our God. So after which, Paul gave this most wonderful testimony in verses 9 and 10. And this is an example of how God gives his grace. Look at verses 9 and 10, although I just read it a while ago, but it's important that we go back and read verses 9 and 10. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Verse 10, therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. It's all because of God's grace, God's favor that's on our lives. And when the abundance of God's favor is poured upon us, listen, man, we are able to stand the test of time that comes our way. Glory be to our God.
Praise God. So when we pray, our hearts and minds are fortified, which means they are made stronger or more secure. In Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7, it says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So the important word here, the word and, at the beginning of verse 7, it linked the two verses together. It said, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. And verse tells us of God's peace, verse 6 speak of the condition that must be met if we are to experience it. Everything must be done by prayer and petition and with thanksgiving. And we are to make our requests known unto God. I said earlier, if you need joy, whatever you need from Him, you have to ask Him. Do not go to your friends, do not go to your neighbor. Because right here He's telling us, let our requests be made known unto Him. So if we pray, God says that our minds and our heart will be fortified. That means the enemy will not be able to get through to our heart, because we got to guard our heart, because it's easy for us to let our guard down and then the enemy can come in and start bringing all different things to our mind. So we have to guard our hearts. We have to guard our mind. Isaiah 26 verse 3 says, you will keep him in perfect peace, all who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you. So if you want peace, not the peace that the world talks about, but real peace, perfect peace, that you can sleep at night, you don't have to worry about anything, then you got to place your trust and your confidence in the Lord Jesus. And then he said, he will give you peace, all who trust him, and all whose thoughts are fixed on him. So fix your affection on things above. Fix your mind on him, and then you will have perfect peace, and you will be fortified.
Amen and amen. I like the latter part of what my wife just said, that you can fix your mind on Christ. And that's the life that all of us as believers should be living, that our mind should be centered on Christ every day, every moment of the day, because He, in fact, is our all in all. So when we pray, our request for wisdom is answered. That's wonderful. When we pray, our request for wisdom is answered. Now, I want to take you to the book of James, chapter 1 and verse 5. There's a well-known verse in James 1 and verse 5. It says, if any of you lacks wisdom, and that's a lot of us, he says, let him ask of God, who gives to all men, to all people liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. That's a promise from God. If you lack wisdom, ask him. What a promise this is, a great promise. And is there anything we need more each day than divine wisdom? I don't think so. Yes, many of us might need money, we might need good health and all of that stuff. But if we have wisdom, divine wisdom, we can accomplish a lot. We have to make decisions. Decisions relating to our employment. Decisions to the matter of engagement, or marriage, or spending money, buying a house, buying a car. And listen, man, the list goes on and on. How easy it is to do the wrong thing. If we do not have divine wisdom, we are prone to do the wrong things. But if we come to God in our need and make our requests known to him, watch this, he will give wisdom and will guide and guard us every moment of the day. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, the scripture says in Proverbs, and lean not to your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge God, and God will do what? He will direct your path. He will give wisdom, and he will guide you, and he will guard you every moment of the day. He says he will watch our going out, and he will watch our coming in. And that's the word of the Lord, my friends, to the people of God today. Glory be to our God.
Glory to God. He says, when we pray, our fellowship with God is maintained and deepened. Do you want to have fellowship with God? Think about Adam when he was in the Garden of Eden. He was having daily fellowship or daily communion with the Lord. But after he sinned, he went into hiding. So God wants to have fellowship with us. So the only how that can happen is when we pray. Our fellowship is maintained and you have a deeper personal relationship with him. James 4 verse 8 says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. So in this time we live in, we all need to be drawn closer to God. And he's telling us that when we draw close to him or we draw near to him, he will in turn draw near to us. He didn't say he might or he may. He said he will draw near to you. I encourage you today to get close to the Lord. If you have drifted far from him, you can come back right at this moment and have a close relationship. Like the song says, close to thee, all along life's pilgrim journey, Savior, let me walk with thee. So I need a closer relationship with him. I trust that's your heart desire today and that you will do so before time changes to eternity.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, man. I tell you, what a word today. What a word. And I trust you were following along with us. I trust you were taking notes and that you will not only follow along and take notes, but you would apply what you've heard today to your life. And I can assure you that if you practice what you heard today, then your life will be changed and your life will be different. Man, prayer is the answer for the world today. With all the struggles and all the painful things that you see and you hear on television today, if we pray, God will hear and God will answer our prayers. We want to thank you so much, man, for joining us today. You know, we never bring a moment like this to a close without again challenging you to make Jesus your choice, to make him the Lord of your life. And if you really need somebody to pray with you, you can call us and we will tell you how to do that later on in this broadcast. But you can call us and we will be happy, man, to take that time to pray with you and to pray for you that God's will be done in your life. Father and our God, we again thank you and we bless your holy name. Great are you, Lord, a God who hears and answers prayer. Speak to hearts today, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Amen. We are so happy that you tune in one more time. And as we leave you today, we encourage you to pray to the Lord. Seek him, call upon him, and he will hear and he will answer. And if you're ever in need of prayer, you can always call us at 404-964-2242. Once again, that number is 404-964-2242. Or you can email us at newdayofhopeatlanta@gmail.com. That's newdayofhopeatlanta@gmail.com. So until then,
remember what I told you, for everyone that asketh, receiveth. Go and pray.